Romans chapter 12. Our study continues on the topic, gifts of grace, your design and destiny. Amen. All right, hold your Bible up with me. Hold your Bible up. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. Because of it, I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have. And I can do what you said I can do. Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation for my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Romans chapter 12 is our text for today. We have a PowerPoint on the screen as well today, but take notes as you will. Gifts of grace is the topic we're looking at, your design and destiny. We're designed by God to do great things. All of us are designed and destined to do great things. The great things are big or small. People may see it or not see it. Whatever you do for God is great. Whether someone calls it great or not, you should know that what you do for God is great. And I want to today explore this topic, how to use what you have. Say, Lord, help me, to use the gifts of grace that you have given me and to use what I have. That's your design. Your design is to use what God has given you and placed inside of you. All right, Romans chapter 12. Let's take this one verse here, first of all. It says in verse 6, in his grace, God gives us different gifts for doing certain things well. And we come back to that text. But look what he said here. In his grace, or through his grace, God gives us different gifts for doing certain things well. What you call talent is a gift from God. God gives gifts to all of us. Even before you became a Christian, by virtue of being born and being a person and being human, God put his gifts in all of us. Now, in the Lord, you can maximize your gifts and have more added in Christ, but I want you to understand that God has given us gifts. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Here's our text for the series. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To each of us, us being believers, to each of us, grace was given. It's already been done. According to the measure of Christ's gift. We're going to unpack this for you in our lesson. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, who you are. Realizing who you are. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship. One version says masterpiece. We're God's masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, I should walk in the good works that God prepared for me beforehand. Beforehand meaning before you were born, before your parents were born, before there was a world to walk on. That's how much God knows about you. That's how much God knows about you. Before you came, before you were born, God knew everything about you. And so the Bible says that we are his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. A masterpiece is the greatest work of an artist, an architect, an author, anybody. The greatest work. You are God's greatest work. Say, I am God's greatest work. More than the angels, more than the planets and stars. I mean, more than anything. More than the whales. People talk about the environment. Well, we're the environment. You are God's greatest creation. Therefore, he says, you're created in Christ to do good works which God prepared beforehand. One more scripture in our foundation. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Now, this is a statement of responsibility and purpose. He says, as each one has received a gift. You have a gift. It's been established in previous scriptures. He says, minister it. What? The gift. One to another as good stewards of the manifold or many-sided grace of God. So you have received the grace. You receive gifts. You're God's workmanship. And now he says, you should minister and serve others with those gifts God has given you as good steward. A steward is someone who doesn't own everything. A steward manages the property and affairs of another. You got that? So I am a steward of what God has given me. Yes, you are. You are responsible for what God's given you. I mean, your thoughts, your mind, I mean, everything. How you handle your life, finance, and the gifts he's put inside of you. So today I want to continue to encourage you and talk about gifts of grace, your design and destiny, and how to use what you have. A couple quotes. First of all, a man named Robert Louis Stevenson said this. He said, to be what we are and to become what we are capable of becoming is the only end in life. Now, of course, that's a secular statement. We know that serving God is the main purpose in life. But this is true. But to be what we are and become what we are becoming and can become, that's an important focus. So why were you born? Why did, you know, your parents raise you and train you and put you through school and, I mean, all these things? Why did we do all this? Why was it done for us? Because we are becoming. We should become what God has destined for us to become. There's a design for your life. You are designed by God. You know, everything is designed by somebody. We've got designer shoes, I mean fashion, designer coats, designer cars are designed. The Bible was, this book was designed, what font to use, how big the font would be. And I've got, Elder Owens has got hold your Bible up, sir, hold your Bible up. Someone designed that Bible. That big giant Bible, you know, with big text. Amen. Big words and everything. This iPad is designed. This Apple Watch, you know, all our stuff is designed. Everything has design. Everything has design. You have design. God designed you. But sometimes we don't know what our design is. And what happens is what abuse comes from, get this, abuse comes from abnormal use. Abuse is abnormal use. So when people don't know who they are and their design and what God said, sometimes folk become subject to abuse. They begin to allow themselves to be abused by people abnormally handling them. Amen, somebody? If you know who you are, you won't go places and do things people suggest you do. Because that's not me. I'm not going over there. Well, they all won't be there. I won't be there. You know? You know how it is, you're a child. Grew up trying to tell your mama, mama, everybody won't be there. Well, guess what? You're not. You aren't everybody. So when you have purpose and design, then you can be very clear about some things. And it keep you out of trouble. And keep you out of abuse, abnormal use. Another quote here, the great Maya Angelou said, creativity or talent, like electricity, is something that I don't understand, but something I'm able to harness and use. See, everything in life that's available to you, I don't understand everything that God has, but I can access it. I can get into the things of God. And so I'm able to harness and use electricity, not knowing how it works. It was designed to be used. And if you use it the right way, you won't be shocked by it. It won't kill you. It won't hurt you at all. So then we're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about how to walk in the gifts of grace and fulfill purpose in your life. Let me give you three words. Now, text again, Ephesians 4 and 7 again said, but to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Three words in this text. First is the word is grace. There's the word measure. And there's the word gift. Now, grace is God's ability, what God can do. That's grace. That's what God has. Grace is everything God has. It's his favor, his resources, his ability. God has everything you need. You believe that?
Amen.
Whatever you need is in the grace of God. He has it. Belongs to him. Then he says, but to each of us, grace was given. God's ability was given. He says, according to the measure. The measure is how much. You know, I measure a cup of this, you know, a gallon of that. And this is, that's a measure. And the gift is what God gives. So then we understand now, grace is God's ability. Gift is what he gives us, one or more. And then the measure is how much gift, how much he gives you. Now, some folk have more, some folk have less of whatever it is. And sometimes we don't have less or more because God decided, I don't like you, so I'll give you less. It's not that. I believe it's more about what we are willing to receive. Willing to believe, how far you're willing to go. Sometimes people settle. They go so far and just settle. I don't want any more. I'm satisfied, content, complacent, whatever. And so the measure is going to be limited for you. But when you understand and believe that God wants to do things through you and you're willing to go with him as far as he says go, so water, please, then God can give you a greater measure because you're willing to accept more from God. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
You know, you're not going to give anybody any more than what they're going to handle or say or express to you that they're willing to handle. Because anything more is going to be wasted, right? And God doesn't waste anything. Doesn't waste any words, doesn't waste any promises. I mean, God is going to work with people, all of us, but your measure, the measure of your gifting will depend on how willing you are to receive it, right? So if you get into God's word and God's purpose and you go strong for God and God bless you, and God give you grace and you begin to be in business or work a great job and make a lot of money, you might become rich. You know, folk are mad at folk that are rich. Who think he is? He think he's rich. He thinks he worked for it. He don't care what you think about it. That's what he's thinking. Because when you go for the full measure, it's going to be a lot of suffering and challenge, but the grace of God will keep piling on as much as you can receive and responsibly use. Y'all receive that? So sometimes the limitation is really within us. So God, I'm waiting on you. Well, sometimes God is waiting for you. Say, God, I'm waiting on you. Sometimes the problem is God's waiting for us to decide to be willing. So then gift, grace, measure, and gift. Now let's just define some terms. Gift. A gift is an ability or a potential ability you received received from God when you were born. We call this normally talent. So a person may have an ability or potential ability, maybe to be athletic. You know, they have a certain build. They can run. They can jump high. Some can sing. Some can draw. You know, I think we all. Some can do design. They can design things and organize people. So we see these gifts, but every gift has to be developed. You use it or you lose it. Because when God gives gift, then he expects us to develop it. One of the scriptures said that we're going to minister with the ability that God gives us, right? So he holds us accountable to use what he has given us. But sometimes we want what somebody else has. Right? Remember the American Idol? All that whole thing? The early rounds? That's what I watch. That's the funny part, you know. All them folk find out they really can't sing. And they've been told their whole life, you can sing. The fact was, folk were afraid to say, you can't sing. Kept pushing them forward. And they got in front of an impartial panel that know you, don't care who you are, objectively listen, you say, know what? No, that's not, this is not you. And so they found out. Well, somebody should have, we should not let people waste their time developing what's not really in them. Now, if it's in you, develop it. But don't try to be somebody else, because God's satisfied with you. He chose you to be you. You don't do you. That old phrase, do you. I like that. Do you. And sometimes maybe you don't like you. I wish I was somebody else. You can't be somebody else. Stop wishing it. Stop watching those people. Stop buying the magazines. Unsubscribe. Stop looking at stuff. It's not part of your design. So a gift is ability and potential ability that God has given you when you were born. See, we have some things before we become a Christian. You're born with some things, potential things. Ability, then, next word is a learned skill. Don't underestimate this right here. Because a lot of people who don't have gift or talent actually learn to do stuff. They gain ability and become better than people who have quote-unquote talent. Please hear that. You can learn to do a lot of things. You can learn to draw. You can learn to play instrument. You could learn to sing. You can't, you know, now a person with a gift will always make it, it's easier for them. But don't discount the power of ability or a learned skill. Because most people, even those who have some talent, still have to learn. Because talent is underrated. Talent is overrated. I always say to you, talent is overrated. Working at stuff is underrated. Becoming skillful, that's what's important. It really is. I don't want a talented doctor. I want a skilled doctor. He got talent. When he was a kid, he used to work on the, in biology class, working on the, you know, whatever they worked on in biology class, you know. Well, this is my life now. I don't care about your talent. I care about your skill now. Talent gets you in the door. Talent motivates you to go get training. Right? Talent is not an end to itself. It's only a beginning. Third word is aptitude. And that's the capacity to do something, or talent. So after we measure aptitude. We should, you know, every youth should be assessed and tested to see, so they can see what are your aptitudes. Because sometimes you don't know until you have someone help you and walk you through the process. And you say, oh, okay. And you begin to see your strength areas come up. You're aware of it. Once you see it, oh, yeah, I get that, right. But sometimes someone has to show you, help you see where your aptitudes lie. Amen, somebody? But you're only speaking what you enjoy doing, and what you're good at is your aptitude. Generally speaking, what you enjoy doing most and what you're good at doing, that's your aptitude. You should try to get a job doing that, things you're good at and want to do. Now, all of us coming up have had jobs where I don't like this job. I need this job. This job pays good money. Maybe you're there now, you know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with that. Because it's not everybody who had the privilege to be able to do what they love doing and want to do. Sometimes for family's sake, for child's sake, you do what you got to do to take care of your family. Amen? Amen. But never lose sight of your dream. Now, I want my children, though, to have experience of being able to pursue what they want to do and what they're good at doing. What they enjoy doing. I want to make it possible for them. And we've done that. All our kids are doing what they want to do and enjoy doing. And they've all had little jobs here and there, you know, to make it along the way. But I had a whole lot more than them coming up. My dad had more than I had. That's the point, right? It gets better generation by generation. And now we all get to focus on what our gifting is. All right. Now, what you will become is already inside of you. We call it DNA in the physical realm, that every person born has everything they need on the inside. And so, you know, LeBron James, who's now, 6'8", and freight train, you know. But when he was a little bitty baby, all that freight train was in him as a 2-day-old child. All that size and strength was in him as a very small baby. The DNA was always in there. He's going to be big, but become skillful required another level. He wasn't going to become LeBron James of today without a whole lot of help and training and preparation, right? Again, talent is just the beginning. So I want you to understand that spiritually and in God's purpose and plan through grace, you're already, what's inside of you is already part of what you are now and what you shall become. You know, many of us here, like myself, I mean, I'm already into the things that God called me to do, been in for a long time, but there's more for me. Not a whole lot more, but there's more. So I'm never out of the mode of learning. I'm never out of the mode of being developed and trained. I'm a lifelong learner. Amen? When you finish high school and college and go back to school and all that, get a second degree, all that, don't you think that commencement, don't think commencement is the end. In fact, commence means to begin. So every level you go to doesn't signal the end of something, but the beginning of something. But like this, but talent and aptitude are like potential. You know, potential doesn't amount to anything unless we do something with it. So the message in to our young people here today, you all got talent. People have seen it. They've told you about it. You're aware of it. But whatever you're aware of, don't be content in the awareness of aptitude, because the grace of God in you wants to develop that potential, that talent, the aptitude to become something mighty and fruitful. You believe that? I know I do. We teach it. We preach it. Have been for years and years, helping young people. Now, the purpose then of training and education are to develop the gifts, acquire the ability, and exercise your talents and aptitude. So then the whole point to school, to training, workshops, all this, everything you go through to train and learn are to develop your gifts, to acquire ability, exercise talents and aptitudes. You know, we have education systems today, it's kind of one size fits all. And, you know, that's a necessity at one level. Now, everyone needs to learn, you know, how to read and compute and, you know, do mathematics. That's important. But normally, you know, now high school does some of this and college does more of it. But I believe in the early ages, we should identify young people's aptitudes early and begin focusing training on that their whole lives. Not neglecting the essentials, the basic academics and mathematics. But you know, we have a lot more highly developed young people by the time they're 19 and 20. If they focused on what the gifting was, if we helped them focus on what the grace of God in them is saying to them. Now, my experience was that my parents recognized my abilities early on and encouraged me early on. And so we've done that. Most of us here have done that with our children. But a lot of kids don't have that, aren't in the presence of adults who are recognizing their abilities and their potential and recognizing their unique gifts and grace and helping develop that. And for a lack of that, then people become adults asking the question, who am I? What's my purpose? Every year at media camp, we have the young folks in front of us, the teenagers, and I ask them, what's their age? I'm 13, I'm 14, I'm 15. All right, add 5 years to that. All right, now you're 19, you're 21, 22. Where are you going to be at 22? I don't know. Haven't thought about it. Think about it. Now, I'm only 15. 5 years comes and goes. You're going to be 20. So at 15, you should think about now and decide right now where you're going to go. Focus on it. Because when you focus, then you can then access and tap the grace of God in ways you cannot without focus. See, God's grace requires you to pay attention. Take a look at what God is saying, what the Word says, what people around you are saying. When you're serious about that early on in your life, man, you can do great things early in life. I'm not saying don't, you know, yet enjoy life, be a kid, be a youth, enjoy that. But please don't enjoy it so much. You become 20, 21 years old, wondering now, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on around me. Why? Well, it's not too late. But I'm telling you now, don't wait. Everybody now who's 20-something, 30-something, 40-something, whatever, they will tell you themselves, don't wait. Well, I'm trying to decide what to do. Well, make a decision. As the British say, take a decision. When? Now. I'm not ready now. We'll do it tomorrow. I don't know. See, now, see, the grace of God is going to gravitate to people, and he'll manifest himself to those who are moving toward what he has for them. Now, listen, you may make the wrong decision. Say, I'm going to decide to be a doctor at 15. But the thing is, once you're in the decision mode, it's easier to change and to adjust and adapt. See, once you're in decision mode, you can then make a change in course. You can't change course if you have no course. Amen, somebody, come on now. Don't be like my friend Hollis in college talking about, man, I'm going to Motown. I'm going to get a contract in Motown. Man, Motown been gone, man. Motown is not the Motown you're thinking about. Besides that, you don't sing now. You sing in the shower, and you sound pretty good in the shower. But Motown is not waiting for you. Don't listen. It's called a grandiose delusion. That's the term. Grandiose means it's big and grand, but it's not connected to reality. You can get a contract one day with a label, but start today developing your gifts and abilities. All right? So let's look now at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's get into the text here. We read the text earlier. Let's get into it now. This is New Living Translation. It brings it out, I believe, very well. It says in verse 3, Romans 12, because of the privilege and authority God's given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think yourself better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God's given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is in Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Now, talking to believers about their place in God's church, in God's kingdom, in Christ's body. And Paul's saying, because of my authority and privilege, I'm warning you, I'm telling you, don't think you are better than what you are. Now, he's not saying to us, he's not saying you should think less of yourself. That's not what he said. He said, don't think too high of yourself. In other words, do not be unrealistic. Do not deceive yourself, because here's the fact. You don't have to think you are who you're not, because who you are is enough. You got that? You don't have to think you're better than you are, because who you are is enough for God. And he says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. King James says, be sober. Be serious-minded as you evaluate yourself. But here's a key statement, really key. Measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. Now, please don't miss this. Please don't miss it. Because on one hand, you can be emotional and say, oh, I don't know. I don't like myself. My friends don't like me. I don't know. I don't feel good about me and all this. I don't know. You can take it the wrong. That's the wrong way to think about this. He's not saying, what he's saying is don't have the big head. But he's saying don't think less of yourself. Don't get down on yourself. He's saying think of yourself. Measure yourself by the faith that God has given you. There's the key. Because when you recognize the grace of God that he's put inside of you, when you recognize the gifting that he has put inside of you, when you become aware of what he's entrusted you with, you can then have faith in what God is doing in you. Not faith in yourself, faith in what God has given you. Now, one thing about people who are, like, again, I mentioned these athletes who are famous, you know, the people you know about, the famous people, whether athletes or whomever, that people like that are supremely confident in what they're doing. It can look like arrogance to some people. It isn't arrogance. It's only arrogance when you go around telling people, I'm the best there ever was. I'm God's gift to the whole world. That's arrogance. Even to talk about yourself, to just extol what you can do, that's arrogance. But in yourself to know what you can do, that's confidence. That's confidence. You got to have confidence to do God's will. Amen? To take the class, to pass the test. You got to have confidence. You've never seen a person do well in school talking about, I don't know what I'm going to do. Test coming up, I don't know. I'm worried about it. I don't know, man. I just don't think I can do it. I just can't do it. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. No person who's a good student ever talks like that. They may have some doubts. They express a couple here and there. Here's the point. When the grace of God has empowered you, you see what God can do. When David went out there to face Goliath, and David was a small man. David was not a LeBron James. He's more of an Isaiah Thomas kind of guy, little guy. Even smaller. I mean, Isaiah Thomas would almost, how tall is he, 6 feet? 6'1". Isaiah Thomas, 6'1". I mean, the late, I knew. Okay, he said, he ain't small. Yeah, the new one, yeah. Okay. All right, 5'9", 5'8". David was like 5'6", 5'5", probably. He was ruddy. He wasn't muscular. David was just a little guy. And David came out there talking about, he saw the armies of God cowering in the presence of Goliath. And David came out there talking about, what is this? I'll take you out myself. He said, David, go back, watch the sheep. How are those sheep doing you left behind? But David said this. He said, when I was watching the sheep, I killed a lion and a bear. That's what he said. And I'll kill you next. In his mind, lion, bear, Goliath. He just believed God could do it again. He wasn't grandstanding. He wasn't just showing off. He believed, he had confidence in God. That you know, I was watching the sheep, and a lion came and I killed that lion. Bear came and killed the bear. I took care of my sheep. I protected what was mine. Now my whole nation's threatened. And I'll do it again. I did it for sheep. I'll do it for people. That's confidence. Nothing but confidence. And that's what, so when the Bible says, when Paul here said, don't think yourself better than you are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. When you measure yourself by the faith you have in God, that changes everything, doesn't it? Yeah, now what do you believe? It's not what do I feel, or just what I think. Oh, I think it's a bad situation over here. I think Goliath is too big for me to handle by myself. I'm not by myself. So David, you know, got the sling out and the five smooth stones, you know, and you know what happened? Only needed one. I watched this movie, the Bible movie. These movies are, I just read the Bible, y'all. None of these movies. I'm telling you, even the Christian movies. Read the Bible. Because in the Bible movie, when David threw the stone, it hit Goliath's head and bounced off, and he fell down. The Bible said the stone sank into his head. Sunk in, like it went 1,000 miles an hour, you know. That's what God does. He had a thick skull, you know what I'm saying? point is, David had the confidence, and therefore the grace of God was active in his life in proportion to the confidence he had and the faith he had in God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we never promote conceited attitudes and arrogance and pride. That's never any need for that. It's foolish to go that way. But it's wise to know what God has given you, and it's necessary for you to embrace the ability of God. And when you evaluate yourself, you see your own weakness, but then you see the strength of God in your heart. Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
You all receive that?
Amen.
We open the message. We always say, we begin the sermon, raise a Bible, most messages, and make that statement. I am what you said I am. I have what you said I have. I can do what you said I can do. Those aren't just words. We believe that. I believe that. I believe exactly those words, because there's confidence in God. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts on today. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us, many of us, of these principles we've heard before, many of us over and over again. Maybe it's news to some of us here today, but probably not to most. But Lord, I thank you that today we embrace the truth and the reality that we are your workmanship, we're your masterpiece. We embrace the truth that you've given us, each of us, grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. We embrace the truth that we have received a gift and we should minister it one to another as good stewards of that grace. And thank you, Father God, that we will embrace these realities, and Lord, and we'll become confident through faith in God, through faith in what Christ has done in us, that we can embrace the gifts and use what we have.